The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin any more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last week at Masses, I briefly talked about an episode from the time in the desert, the Exodus, that maybe is not as well known. It's the story of Joshua and Caleb and the 10 other spies that were able to peer into the promised land, and they saw that it was occupied by big, tough soldiers, and their fear, disproportionate fear, holds them back from actually entering into the promised land, and they have to wander for 40 more years. Today, I'll begin with another episode from the desert, the time of the Exodus, that probably is more well-known because it happens frequently in the desert. So this comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, and they've been in the desert for a little bit of time now, and things are getting hard. I love the translation I have. This is what we read. "The riffraff among them were so greedy for meat that even the Israelites lamented again, 'If only we had meat for food. We remember the fish we used to eat without cost in Egypt, and the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now we are famished. We have nothing to look forward to but this manna.'" They're grumbling. It's getting hard. And their first instinct is to think back to when they had a full buffet back in Egypt. And there's two problems with this instinct of the Israelites when things get hard. The first problem is their memory of all of those foods, onions, leeks, melons, cucumbers. They were enslaved. It's a small detail. They could have had everything they wanted, this food, but they were still slaves. So to look back is not realistic. And to look back leads to going back and back into that slavery. The other problem with that perspective is they have forgotten that God has promised them a land flowing with milk and honey, which is better than the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the melons. So by looking back, not only are they tempted to go back, but they have not fixed their eyes on the prize, which is before them. This warning of not looking back because of the temptation of going back is elsewhere in the scriptures. Earlier in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, there's the story of Abraham's nephew Lot and his family. Maybe you remember this. Abraham's nephew Lot travels with Abraham. They offer sacrifices to God together, and eventually, when they get to the land of Canaan, they actually divide up the land and say, "You will establish your family here, and Lot, you will establish your family here." And Lot chooses the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it becomes a deeply sinful town, so much so that in the end, they are destroyed.
And before the town is destroyed, angels come to save Lot and his wife and his two daughters, to rescue them from this destruction. And they say, head out into safety, don't look back. And the text says, Lot's wife looks back briefly, just a simple glance, and she perishes. It says she turns into a pillar of salt. Why in the world would she look back just to look at the destruction? I think it's because she was attached to the sins that was there. She didn't want to be rescued from this type of situation. She looked back. And it's also fascinating that Jesus actually picks up on this same theme in his public ministry. When he is calling his first disciples, he lays out the conditions. If you want to follow him, what it's going to take. This is from the Gospel of Luke. They were going along the road, and a man said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. Basically saying, don't be naive. This is going to be hard. To another, somebody says to Jesus, Jesus says to him, follow me. But the man says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. He says, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Bold request. But the last is fascinating. Another says, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home. Jesus says to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Basically saying, I'm giving you a new life and a new mission. And insofar as you want to look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Don't look back. Later in his public ministry, when he's warning people of the final coming of the Son of Man, the establishment of the kingdom of God, and he's telling them to be ready. He says, on that day, let him who is on the housetop with goods in the house not come down to take them away. Likewise, let him who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus refers to that Old Testament. He says, don't be like Lot's wife. Don't look back. Fascinating. So here we are, the fifth Sunday of Lent, just 1 week away from the holiest week of the year. And maybe you've heard this maybe from yourself or your family members, your friends. Maybe I've said something like this. Man, I miss eating chocolate. Man, I miss my desserts. Man, I miss my snacks. Oh, I miss those adult beverages. Boy, I miss my television shows. I miss my phone time. Don't look back. More profoundly, because yes, is it going to be a joy to return to some of those simple human joys when we celebrate the victory of Christ and his resurrection? Absolutely. But it's more than just a temporary hiatus from good things. That's not Lent. Lent is for freedom. So it's more broad. The question of, do we ever say, man, I remember before I began to take my Catholic faith seriously, I could kind of do whatever I wanted. I mean, God willing, all of us in our lifetime, we can say we've made progress. Maybe even in Lent. In these 4.5-5 weeks, we've said, we've made progress. We've detached. We've ended bad habits, and we've strained towards good habits and closeness to the Lord, but there's maybe a part of us that says, well, I remember the days when I could sleep in on Sundays. Didn't have to tithe. I didn't have to pray every day. I didn't have to eat fried fish every Friday. I could eat meat whenever I wanted. The Lord is telling you today, don't look back. Because if you look back and you think, man, it was better. I could do whatever the heck I wanted. You've forgotten you were slaves. You were slaves to your own passions, your own preferences, your own pleasures. You were slaves to yourself. And it was not more joyful in that life. He offers you an entirely new life. That life means nothing now. And the greatest example of this is St. Paul in the second reading today. In his letter to the Philippians, right before this reading, he kind of provides his curriculum vitae. He provides his resume saying, in the Jewish world, I've got the best credentials. I have the best education, the best bloodline. I've done everything right. I was zealous for the law. Then he goes into what he says today. All of that was rubbish. It's nothing to me now that I know my Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy. The difference is he encountered some degree, a taste of the goodness that awaits him in the kingdom by encountering the crucified and resurrected Lord on the road to Damascus. It changed everything for him. And no longer does he long for the old days when he was in charge, because he knows he was a slave then. Don't look back, because you'll go back. There's one other way that we can dangerously look back, and it has to do with the gospel today. The story of the adulterous woman. So the woman's caught in the act of adultery. She's standing before a large crowd, guilty as charged. And yes, Jesus dismisses all of the others by saying, if you've not sinned, you can cast the first stone. And they leave one by one. And the woman is left standing there before Jesus. I don't think her temptation is to say, man, I remember the good old days. That's not her temptation. Her temptation will be the shame of that life that was on display for the whole town to see. She is haunted by what she's done. And she will be tempted to let those past sins haunt her and hold on to her. She will be tempted to look back on that. And what does Jesus say to her today? Does no one condemn you? Nor do I condemn you. Go, sin no more. He saw the contrition in her eyes, the humility, the true sorrow for what she's done. And he wanted her to be free from that past. And that's true with us too. I'm always amazed. It's not frequently, but oftentimes people will come into the confessional and they'll say, Father, I've confessed this before, but I feel so bad, I need to confess it again. They're haunted and they're ashamed and they're looking back. And as long as they're looking back, they can't go forward. And so, brothers and sisters, if you have confessed a sin that has caused you shame, don't look back. The Lord has forgiven you. He does not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Press onward to the prize that awaits you, the joy and the mercy and the peace and the freedom that Christ wants for you. Don't look back. In the words of St. Paul today, in his beautiful second reading of the Philippians, just one thing. Forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. Today at this Mass, we get something better than manna. It is true bread from heaven, the flesh and blood of Jesus. We will not grumble. We will not be like the riffraff. We will not regret the good old days, because the good old days lie before us. As long as we persevere through any trial, any suffering, any cross that the Lord provides for us, because it is going to be hard. That's what it means to be a disciple, but it's only through the cross that true resurrected life is offered to us.